This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is real. The Kingdom of God is literal. It is future. And it is coming very, very soon when Jesus himself returns from heaven to this earth to set up God's eternal kingdom. This kingdom is something that is the real hope for the church. This is where we're going to live. Jesus is coming again. And from the very point when the angels spoke to Mary and Joseph, before Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel told Mary of Jesus' future, of what he is going to do, that he would sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there would be no end. And this was a picture of what Jesus would do in the future. There's another ministry of Jesus as well, and that picture was given to Joseph when the angel told Joseph that he will save his people from their sins. And the Jewish people knew firsthand the only way to have salvation was to have something or someone die. And it had to be the shedding of blood. And Jesus is our substitute. Jesus died in our place. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died in our place. He was our substitute. And just prior to Jesus' death, he's with his disciples and he's given them some disheartening news, particularly to Peter, because Peter is gung-ho. He's with him. He's excited because he's with his Lord, and he has his sword with him, and he's ready. And he said, I'll go with you wherever you go. And Jesus said, you can't follow me now, but you will later. And he says, I'll lay down my life for you. This is John chapter 13, starting with verse 36, if you want to write that down and take a look at it later. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. What a bombshell to lay on Peter. And then Jesus continues his thought into chapter 14. He said, but let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If you go into the ancient language of Greek, you'll realize that the dwelling places are abiding places, or places to stay. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus had not died yet. There was no access to the family of God. There was no opportunity for salvation. Until Jesus died, he had to die to make it possible that you and I have life. Jesus in John 14 is going to the cross to die. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He was going to the cross to die to make it possible for us to live and to have eternal life, immortality, to make that possible. It wasn't possible up to that point. The only way that the Jews could have any forgiveness of sin was through the sacrifice of an animal. Jesus was our substitute who went to the cross and died. Now, if you go back into Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, he informed his disciples what he was going to be doing. I want you to make sure you write that verse down. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, that after Peter's great confession, he began to tell his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, how he was going to suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests, and that he was going to die, and that he was going to be raised on the third day. He predicted what would take place. He knew what God's plan was, and he knew that God had in mind for him that he be the sacrifice. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to Jerusalem. and he's informing his disciples of this event. It's somewhere in the vicinity of a year and a half to 2 years prior to the time that it actually took place. Some people would say he's predicting his death. There was no prediction here. He knew God's plan for his life, his plan and purpose for his life. Jesus' purpose was to die for the sins of the world, after which he would be raised back to life, and he would be the king of this new kingdom that would be someday established when God was ready. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is now history, but the coming of the kingdom is still future to our day, and we're anticipating that to happen when God is ready. And we see signs happening and being fulfilled before us right in our day and age, as you watch the newspaper and television and listen to radio, listening to the news of the events that are happening in the world around us. The world is getting worse and worse, as Jesus said it would. And here in John chapter 14, Jesus said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. He was going to the cross. And then he said, I will come again. And he did. He was resurrected just as he said he would. And now that he was resurrected, everyone can come to him for forgiveness of sin. I want you to write down in Acts chapter 2, as Peter is giving a defense for what has taken place on the day of Pentecost, they saw some unique things taking place in the first part of chapter 2. And I want you to focus on around verse 38 of the second chapter of Acts. Jesus is now resurrected. He is now ascended to the throne of God in heaven, and he has left the work of sharing his message and of who he is and what is going to take place in the future. He's left all this to his disciples. And Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost and telling them, explaining to them what has taken place as they saw the Holy Spirit descending on this day of Pentecost, recorded in the first part of chapter 2. Peter is preaching and he's talking about Jesus. In verse 22, he said, Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you know, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him to the cross by the hands of the godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. He's telling these Jewish people that have gathered here on the day of Pentecost and listening to him preach. He said, you men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, and they remembered him. It hasn't been that long. It's just been less than 3 months. It was 50 days. This is actually 50 days after the time of the crucifixion. Peter is saying, this man Jesus, and you remember who he is, you put him to death. You nailed him to the cross. But God raised him back to life again. And it is because of him that all this is taking place. He's talking to him that there's forgiveness available. I know that when you put him to death, you did it ignorantly, and God wants you to live. This Jesus is alive again. In verse 37, the results of this preaching, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? When they're convicted that how what they had done to the Son of God, they're convicted and they're devastated. What do we do now? And Peter says, because of the love of God and what is available to you now, Peter said to them, verse 38 of chapter 2 of Acts, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. In other words, those who are centuries down the road, which includes us. And the promise is also for as many as the Lord our God will call. And there were over 3,000 people that accepted Jesus Christ on that day and were baptized. These were adults that heard the words. These were adults that were convicted in their heart and mind and realized they had done something terribly wrong, and this wrong needed to be corrected. These were adults that were baptized into Jesus Christ. These were adults who were able to make a conscious decision of their own free will to choose Jesus Christ. And I believe in adult baptism. I believe it's what the Bible teaches, for each of us to, on our own, make a personal decision that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent and to be baptized when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Lord and personal Savior. This is what they did on the day of Pentecost. This is what Peter told them that they needed to do when they said, "What should we do? How do we get out of this dilemma?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Your sins can be forgiven, and they can be forgiven today. That forgiveness is still available. Jesus Christ is still the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is still at the right hand of God, at the throne of God in heaven, receiving anyone who will come to him and say, "I believe that you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me, for my sins." Each person on their own, of their own free will, needs to make that personal decision. I put that decision to you, give you the choice, and may God bless.